is a few verses in John chapter 1. We are, of course, moving into the Christmas season, and a lot of, obviously, in many venues, people are thinking about the birth of Christ, and I thought it'd be good for us to think about this, likewise, from a little different perspective. So if you have your Bibles and you're able to stand, it's just a paragraph, a couple of paragraphs, actually. Just want to read in your hearing, and then we'll see if we can work our way through these without much difficulty today. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Amen. Father, we humbly bow before you today, and we thank you that we have come into the light of Christ, that we have come to know you through him, and to know that he truly is the only way, the truth, and the life. And we love you today because we've first been loved by you. Meet us now in the Spirit. Guide us into the truth of these verses, and may it be good for our souls as we apply these things to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our subject for the next few minutes then will be the true light. The true light. And if you think about it, we're accustomed to many forms of light nowadays, aren't we? We're accustomed to, obviously sunlight and the light of nature, sunlight, moonlight, starlight, all of these kind of things. But we have, man has come up with various forms of light, candles and lamps and we got fireplaces and all sorts of things. We got light bulbs that have been created, and LEDs, light emitting diodes, and just so many different forms of light. But not only do we have many forms of light, we've got light, and if you think about it, in so many places, don't we, today? We've got lights in our home, we've got lights in our automobiles, we've got lights at the workplace, we've got lights in the church, thank God for that. We've got lights in the schools, we've got lights hospitals and gyms and the malls and the arenas and all of these places, ballparks, we've got street lights, and we've got lights in our watches and jewelry and just lights. We're accustomed to lights. But the first place we meet lights in the scriptures is in Genesis 1. And you all know the story, but I thought it'd be good for us to read it. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness," you see, "was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And what? And there was light. Yes. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." That's where we first meet light, you see, in the scriptures. And thank God for the scriptures. Thank God we don't have to guess about how things began, don't you? You just know the truth about it, you see. And light was and light still is contrasted to darkness. light was and light still is good. It is good. But John now, as we go to the Gospel of John, John is helping us to see light from a different perspective, if you will, through what I call a gospel lens. A gospel lens. We could talk about light from a lot of different perspectives, technical perspective, but the Bible presents light from a gospel perspective. And so that's what I want to do for the next few minutes, is just bring attention to light in that way. And I've divided my thoughts up into these two frames of thinking. The first one is that we're going to look at light at the creation in verses 1 through 5 of John 1, and then light at what I call the incarnation, right? Verses 6 through 10. You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's go, let's go, let's go. If we think about it, Jesus, as we go back to John 1, we see that Jesus was the Word. Yeah? He was the Word. So John, unlike the other Gospels, begins his Gospel with the divinity of Christ in Genesis. Yeah. We don't find anything about him coming lowly as a baby. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he wants us to know that there's another side to this. And it's always good to think about that. Just because you've heard one side of the story doesn't mean that that's all there is to it. You know, people can say things about you and they think they know the story until they find out that there's more to it. Yeah? And so that's the reason we have the Gospels, is for us to see that there's more to the story. And we're going to spend all of eternity learning that there's more. Hallelujah. And so John begins here with the divinity of Christ. He reveals that Christ eternally existed as the Word, the Logos. Always has been. He always has been. That he has no beginning, no end. He eternally existed. In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God.
Yes.
For those who say that the Bible never refers to Jesus as God. This is amazing. He was in the beginning with God. Yeah. Psalm 90 verse 2 said, before the mountains were brought forth and you formed the earth or the world from everlasting to everlasting, you know it what? You are God.
Yes.
You are God. Hallelujah. That's him. Before there was a heaven, the Word existed. Before there was the earth, before there was, planets and angels and all the things that we know of, before there was sunshine and all the things we enjoy, before there were nice trees and places to enjoy on the earth, like nice lakes and things, before any of that, the Word. He existed. He enjoyed eternal existence with the Father. Isn't that good? As a matter of fact, the Word is the creator of all things. Right? Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. There's some wonderful verses in Colossians 1. That just highlight and heighten and emphasize this. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or domains or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Yeah. Yeah, that's our God. That's our God. God alone created everything from nothing. Right? Romans 4. He calls things into existence. He spoke and called it into existence. And this foolishness going around where people think that they can speak things, this is foolishness. Come on. Come on. What kind of foolishness is that? You can't, your children don't even obey you. How you gonna you know what I mean? Your own children don't obey you, so how you think nature or something, you know? You decreeing and commanding disease and all this stuff. And I'm not being critical. It just come. We just got to. Romans 4 or 7, that's God who does that. We don't do that. We don't call things into existence. God is the creator. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was the Word. But then he goes on to show that Jesus is light. He is light in verses 4 and 5. And so, you know, again, John has taken us back to the book of Genesis. And it's in the book of Genesis that we find spiritual death, right? God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall what? You shall die. And so spiritual death occurred. So spiritual death and spiritual darkness are the result of what? Adam and Eve's sin. Yes. Spiritual death and spiritual darkness are a result of Adam and Eve's sin. And the fact is, no one is able to deliver themselves from this condition. You just can't do it. After Adam and Eve, everybody has been born in this condition. Spiritually dead and in spiritual darkness. That's the reason we need a Savior. That's the reason we need the light. You know, you getting this? That's the reason we need him. That's the reason we need him. And so Christ is this source of light and life. You see that in verse 4? In him was life. You get it? And the life was the light of men. Uh-huh. Yeah. Life and light. All in him. Christ is the source of life and light. For what? Redemption. Why? Because we were trapped in this situation, this condition of spiritual darkness and spiritual death. And we needed the light to break through. Yes. And that's what he did. He broke through that death and that darkness. And the light shine. Don't you remember when you were first saved?
Amen.
Yes. Oh, my. It's like, it was. Everything is new. Do you know that song about my hands look new? Don't you remember that?
Yes.
Everything was new.
Yes.
I walk new and I talk new. And when I eat my food, it's new because I pray now. I appreciate it, you see. And now, you know, but my relationship with my parents and this, all my, it's all new now because I didn't know what to do before. But light has come. And now I can see. I was in darkness before. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be in the light of Christ.
Amen.
I'm just reminding you, you see, of what the real thinking in Christmas ought to be. You see, and I'm not being critical at all. It's just that I'm saying that Christmas is bigger than just, you know, one or two things. You get it? Yeah. Yeah. And so, such a wonderful thing. Jesus is the source of natural and spiritual light and all the other holiness and wisdom and all the wonderful things that come from Christ. But he's like a lighthouse, though, you see. This verse, kind of verse 5, presents him kind of like a lighthouse. And so I say, like a lighthouse. Jesus shines the light of redemption in the world. He's just there, shining. And for those of you who know the purpose of a lighthouse, it's for all of those ships that can't see. Fog and clouds. They can't see where they're going. But they can see that light breaking through the fog of what? The lighthouse. And they know that that's where I'm headed. Yeah? And so, you see verse 5? The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. So that's what it is. It's like you've been driving on them foggy, those foggy days, the foggy nights or whatever. And you know, that's the reason they put the, what do they call them? They call them fog lights, right? Fog lights. Why do they call them? Because the fog lights are different than the other lights. The fog lights, you know, they're down lower, and the fog lights help you actually, what, see through the fog. Yeah? And I'm not minimizing the light of Christ. I'm just saying that it helps you see through things. Yeah. He breaks through things. It's the light of redemption. He broke through all of my sin and all that ugly life I had. My heart was so cold and dead and dry and so bound up with all of the ugliness of the world. The light came. Shone in my dark soul. Yeah? Helped me to see my need for Christ. And so I turned away from all of that stuff that I loved. And I turned to the one that I love now.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
That's what the light does for you. Yeah. So, like a lighthouse, like a lighthouse. The light of Christ is the only thing that can penetrate the darkness of sin and evil to set the sinner free. There's an interesting verse in John 12, I think it's verse 46. John 12 and verse 46, yeah. Says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Isn't that good? And over in 1 Peter 2, there's a verse that says, God has brought us out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Yeah. So that's the first thought, is that we see the true light at creation, and that's Christ, the Word at creation, if you will. The next thing we want to look at real quick is what I call the light at incarnation. All right? The light at incarnation. And so we'll get back over here to John chapter 1. What we see here is that you all know when they... when an important emissary or representative or someone is coming into town. You watch some of these older movies where someone, a high dignitary, was showing up. There was a herald, right? Or a messenger sent before them, right? To announce them so that people would know to prepare the way, right? For the important person, because you don't want someone important to be missed, yeah? And so that was the whole idea of a messenger or herald to go before the arrival of someone important. And that's the way it is here with John the Baptist, you see? He's a messenger or herald. He was the messenger, the Bible clearly says, the messenger sent from God, right? To announce the arrival of the light. Yeah. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that he might believe through him. Now, this is amazing. And you look at verse 23. Yeah. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. That's what he was. Just a voice. He wasn't the light, but he was the voice, a herald, sent before the light to prepare the way for the light. Now, these verses tell us that his ministry had a specific purpose, right? You see that in verse 7? That all might believe through him. Yeah. And you need to lay hold of that. Whatever God calls you to do, it has a purpose. Yeah. Some of us on the front lines, you may not, whatever your role is, it has a purpose. That's what we have to, that's the reason we call it a body. You see, it's a body, we're the body of Christ. And everything God calls us to do has a purpose. And ultimately, this is it. The people may believe. You see, because we're the ones now, right? That are on the front lines. And I want to say this too. When God sends you, he always equips you. Yeah? When God sends you to do something, he equips you to do it. And you think of John the Baptist. Jesus contrasted him to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who were the more eloquent people of his time. He said that John wasn't preaching in the cities, in the nice, comfortable places, right? He was what? He preached out in the wilderness. And he didn't wear the nice, elegant clothing like the well-known speakers did. He wore what? Camel's hair. And he didn't have a diet that was good, like many of the people getting wealthy off of preaching. He ate hot honey and locusts and what? And wild honey, you see. But the fact is, he had everything what he needed. That's all I'm saying. When God sends you on a mission, you may not know it, but you have. He will make sure you have everything you need. Just don't compare yourself to somebody else. You see, John was equipped for the wilderness. So Jesus said, who did you go out to see? You remember that? You didn't go out to see. And he didn't say it like this, but you know. You didn't go out to see these prissy, you know, or whatever, you know. These little soft-spoken preachers. You went out to see a rough man that getting the job done. And see, that's the deal. Just get the job done. And not be worried about how you look to other people. You follow? And so God equips you. If he calls you and sends you, he equips you. The other thing I see about John here is that he was humble and honest with regard to the light. You see that in verse 8? He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And it's what we need to remember. There are no stars. There are no, you know, in sports they have stars, and in other arenas of life they have stars, and they give them awards, you know, Grammys, and that. Well, we don't have no stars in the kingdom. But there's only one. There's one star. Yeah. And so John was humble, and you and I need to be what? Humble. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. Yeah? So that's John the Baptist as a witness. And then the last thing I want to look at real quick is I'm stuck back there. Oh, there it is. Jesus as a witness for himself. I see that in verses 9 and 10. So Jesus was the true light shining and offering genuine salvation. I see that in verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was the true light. There had been many, many generations of preparation, right? God had prepared people through nature, the light of nature. He had prepared people through the light of ceremonies, you know, festivals and this kind of thing, festival of lights and all those kind of things. And he had prepared them through what we call special revelation. He had given them the prophecies in the scriptures regarding the light of Christ. And so many generations had been spent preparing people for the light of Christ. And so Christ is here to bear witness for himself. But the fact is, the darkness and blindness of sin keeps sinners in bondage, so they cannot see the light of salvation in Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. This is really something important, and I won't linger here. But it's important for all of us to see how privileged we are to be saved. Because that was us at one time. We couldn't see. But God had mercy on us. He did not pass us by. He didn't leave us in darkness. He broke through the darkness. And the light shone in our souls. Unlike anything else. But the wonderful thing is that the light continues to shine in the world, calling all who will be given spiritual eyesight to see the light in Christ, and all who will respond to the gospel. It continues to shine. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that the light continues to shine. And so, in conclusion, just want you to think about this. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that believers are now what? The light of the world. Right? He says, you are the light of the world now. And he says, you cannot hide your light, and you cannot allow what? Others to hide your light. Yeah? We are to let our light shine before people so that they can what? See our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen. We must take the good news and the light of the gospel into this dark, twisted, and perverted world, because only the gospel has the power to save sinners. Amen. Yeah? Only the gospel tells people how to come out of darkness. The gospel is the only thing that tells people how to come out of this darkness and this evil in the world into the marvelous, marvelous light of Christ. Doesn't matter how many books were written and how many philosophical things people write to people, making them feel good about themselves. The gospel is the only thing that will bring them out of darkness into light. Yeah? And so when you see the lights this Christmas season, I spent all this time for you to think about what you see when you look at the lights this Christmas season. That's really what I wanted to do. When you see the lights this Christmas season, remember who is the true light.
Amen.
Yeah? When you're putting up lights this Christmas season, remember him who is what? The true light. When you turn on your lights this Christmas season, remember him who is what? The true light.
Amen.
Remember him. Remember him. Remember that Jesus is still shining. Still shining bright, calling all who would believe to himself to have a very Merry Christmas every day of your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
You understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to get this. Jesus wants people to have a very merry Christmas every day.
Yes.
You got it. And I would say to anyone who's listening by Zoom or whatever the medium is, who will maybe hear this later on, you too can come out of the darkness and into the light. But you must believe in Christ. There is no other way. It's not a good feeling just to feel good for a day or two and to go to church on Christmas Day and, you know, and all of those kind of things, to meet with your family on Christmas. And I'm not minimizing any of that. But if you're going to come out of the darkness of sin and evil and wickedness, you've got to come to Christ by faith. By faith alone. Believe. All you got to do is believe. And you could have a very merry Christmas every day. Every day for you will be a merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. So I just would invite you to let's bow together and think about these things for a few minutes, and then we'll see if there are any comments before we go. Okay.